This show is brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. OffWorldDesigns.com is the place where you can find the nerdiest t-shirts and more at prices that won't break the bank. OffWorldDesigns.com offers shirts from all fandoms and hobbies, and even some other pretty cool stuff like messenger bags that can hold your plus one sort of awesome and so much more. You can use promo code GEEKSRULE to get 10% off your entire order. OffWorldDesigns.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net's Nerd News Network, brought to you by the wonderful sponsor in front of the show, because, well, they help make this show happen. You should be happy, because I'm happy. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today is August 8th, 2014, and surprisingly, I died again this past week, if you can believe that. Had about the worst case of food poisoning I've had since I was a child. I used to think, food poisoning's no big deal, you're sick for a day, big deal. No, literally thought I was going to die. Never once have I panicked like that in my life, and I'm not afraid to admit I cried like a little girl with a bruised knee. It's alright, make fun of me. Party on. Alright, so, because of that, I've actually missed a lot of movies. I still haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, but I'm gonna go see that on Monday, along with Ninja Turtles, which I didn't get a chance to go see last night, though I've heard mixed reviews about it so far. I should have a review for both Guardians and Ninja Turtles coming up next week. And speaking of movie reviews, I will be doing a review of the Angry Video Game Nerd movie. I actually got a private screening copy from James himself. So now I have to defend my house from people breaking in. But still, really, really great movie. Had a lot of fun with it. There are some problems with it, but, you know, nothing is perfect. And I will say this, it's a solid movie. 8 out of 10. But I could see where things could maybe be changed up a little bit. To not be completely, you know, oh my god! Because, you know, that's what I do. So, this week in the nerd news, well, it's not as rich as I would like, so we're gonna roll with what we got. But what I do have involves Twitch making a monumental mistake and then immediately backpedaling. We're also gonna be talking about why we want to be last sowing an asteroid, because, you know, nothing could possibly go wrong there. How a big movie studio is saying, you know what, maybe we don't want to compete with you on that particular weekend. Not a good idea in our minds. A true visionary of my favorite video game series says hasta la vista and moves on. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about Mario Kart 8. So, I guess let's talk about the big story this week, at least in my opinion. Warner Brothers president is moving the Superman vs. Batman Dawn of Justice movie from May 6, 2016 to March 25, 2016, which gives him about 6 weeks before Captain America. I think, I don't know what the third one's called yet, or even if it has a subtitle yet. So the president of domestic distribution, Dan Fellman, said the reality is now there really isn't a bad week to open a movie. If you look at the summer box office this year, you can see there were so many movies, one after the other. You can start with Spider-Man, 2 weeks later Godzilla, then Maleficent, and then Edge of Tomorrow, then Jump Street and Transformers. The one thing they all had in common is not one of them did over $250 million. We'll be the first one up in 2016, which is very important. We'll have 6 weeks before Captain America comes. Yeah. Now, he also goes on to confirm, or it says here in the article that I'm reading, Fellman also confirmed that the initial push of the film's release date to July 2015 to May 2016, landing on the same day as Marvel's Captain America 3, was because they believed Marvel Studios wouldn't have a film ready to release on that date. In terms of going back and reviewing the situation, it looked to us, and maybe our reconnaissance wasn't great, that they were not going to have a movie ready on that date. Just that they had held on to it and they might not be able to deliver. But they took another position. You're not going to beat Marvel, DC. I really don't know what you're trying to do here, because at best you're playing catch-up. At worst, you're like, oh, shit. And now there has been some set photos coming out of Batman versus Superman. They did just film a car chase over this past week. And there were some pictures of Ben Affleck on set as Bruce Wayne. Who evidently older Bruce Wayne just means a little bit of gray hair. Yay. Now, as I've always understood the movie industry, from having a little bit of experience with it, you typically put movies you don't give a fuck about between January and March. Anything you put in there that does well is not expected, because those are the winter months. That's when a lot of people don't go to the movies, per se. Anything that's released in January, you know no one cares about. There have been some notable exceptions, however. Putting a movie in March, the movies they've done this with before previously that I can think of that were successful, I think Watchmen opened in March, and I think 300 opened in March. So it's not like there isn't precedent for it. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Typically, when you put a movie out in April, it means you don't think it's strong enough to hold by itself for the summer. Captain America, The Winter Soldier proved that wrong, for sure. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing that they'll have 6 weeks before Captain America, so it can make its money, and then if it's super successful, it'll keep going. If it's not, it'll have made its 6 to 8 week run in theaters, and it'll quietly leave when everything becomes all Marvel during that summer, which it will likely happen. We'll just have to wait and see what goes on with that. The next story that I want to talk about is, this one's kind of stupid. As you guys know, Google and all these big companies, like YouTube, basically got Twitch, right? And there was an announcement yesterday that they were going to mute content that matched unauthorized third-party audio, so copyrighted music from, you know, popular artists, stuff like that. And it was going to apply to live streams. So, yeah, that would suck if I was playing, say, let's say I'm playing Mass Effect or something, and it muted. It muted everything because I'm talking over the music. That's kind of bullshit. And people are like, whoa, what? Because this would wipe out entire people's Let's Play libraries. This could do, it would be basically friggin' shit. Now, currently the system has yielded multiple false positives, and nobody's happy, pretty much. Now, there was a Reddit Ask Me Anything from Twitch CEO Emmett Shear, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, notes that muting in-game audio was a mistake, and that they have zero intention of flagging original in-game music. The policy would only apply to archive content, and users will not be muted during live streaming sessions. We have no intention whatsoever of bringing audio recognition to live streams on Twitch. This is a video on demand only change for Twitch. Someone on my Twitter, I think it was Nash from Radio Dead Air, had said, why don't you just pay Live 65, I think that's it, or something like that, to pay them a licensing fee so at least somebody's getting money here. People are getting paid and honestly no one cares. So, I don't know. I mean, it's honestly, like, they can't be losing that much money over, you know, muted audio streams. I mean, they really can't. But Twitch is popular. There's so many people using it. I mean, there's so many people that do, like, Minecraft streams or DayZ or Street Fighter stuff. And with websites like, I think it was Justin.tv, or what was the other one? There was a big one that just shut down this past week, and it was kind of a big deal. Because that's where Radio Dead Air was held for so many years. And now it's over on Livestream and some other places. But they're talking about a new streaming site called Hitbox that no one, that not a lot of people are using right now, though I imagine this will likely change. I'm not a big video game streamer myself. I mean, I sometimes will Twitch stream Titanfall if I'm really bored, and I might put on the audio just because I don't... The way my Kinect camera sits in my living room, it doesn't paint a very flattering picture of a fat guy on a couch. Let's just say I look funny. But I don't know, man. Twitch, what are you doing, man? You're pissing people off. Stop! Moving on. The next story that I want to talk about, this one actually hits a little close to home for me specifically, as I actually interviewed this guy back in 2008 or 9, and man, am I kicking myself in the ass for not being more of a fan then. Now I won't have that chance, probably not again. Casey Hudson, he's the executive producer for the Mass Effect series, announced the other day that he's leaving. He mentions that it's time to hit the reset button. He said in a studio blog, he says, "While I feel the time has come, this is without a doubt the most difficult decision of my career. BioWare is a magical, it is as magical a place today as it was when I started. The projects we are working on are some of the most exciting and prestigious in the world. The talent in our teams is second to none, and the people here are some of my closest friends. I've spent more time with many of you than my own family, and I've enjoyed every day of it." So, Casey Hudson moves on from BioWare. Now, things are still moving forward. Dragon Age Inquisition, the new Mass Effect game. And that sucks. And considering some of the big dudes from BioWare left, I think it was last year or the year before last, I'm not saying something's wrong over there, but something ain't stirring the Kool-Aid just right over there. And it really sucks, because Casey Hudson was a wonderful executive producer for the Mass Effect series and overseeing all the cool things that that universe had to create. Because I imagine him, I can't remember the lead writers, Mac Drew. You know what? I can see the book, but I don't have my glasses on right now. To Mac Walters, I want to say. Probably wrong. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net if I'm stupid. Overseeing how, you know, the lore of Mass Effect has come together. And the fact that he's oversaw Mass Effect 1, 2, 3, probably Infiltrator as well, and as much of Mass Effect 4. Hi, Dr. Wiley. Wiley's on my shoulder now. Say hello, kitty. Nope, just gonna wander past you, Dad. I'm a fucking cat. Anyway, I don't know, that's a terrible loss to the industry to lose a person like him, considering how young he is. I really hope he'll come back, but he says he needs to hit the reset button. And honestly, video game creation, it can be a lot of fun, but it can also be very, very draining. It's not just days of sitting around the office shooting your shit with your buddy saying, "Oh man, this is what I want." I imagine it's very technical work. It's very demanding work. It's very creatively draining work. So it's something I don't think I could personally do. It's not my thing. It's not my thing. I wish Casey Hudson the best. I thank you for all the great games you've given me. The fact that I wear the N7 insignia on my right arm, or my trigger finger arm, really says something to the great universe that you've been a part of. So, embrace eternity, Mr. Hudson. All right, moving on to my next story. As you guys know, I love space stuff. And there's a NASA mission that they're talking about known as the Asteroid Redirect Mission, or ARM. And the idea is they want to capture an asteroid and put it in orbit around the moon. There's so many ways this could go wrong. And a lot of people are speaking out. I mean, one MIT professor Richard Benzel had said it's a one and done kind of stunt. I think, and he goes on to be quoted in Popular Science by saying, I think doing something with asteroids in the future is important. But the magic words are asteroids in their native orbit. They naturally exist between here and Mars. So if we build a ship with the capability to go to Mars, then we'll have the capability to go to an abundant number of asteroids. Another critic of ARM, Charles Miller, he's the president of the Next Gen Space LLC and a former senior advisor for the commercial space at NASA. He said that returning to the moon is on the path to Mars. And he says, I led a NASA study that leveraged commercial launch and demonstrated that we could return humans to the moon within NASA's existing budget. It would be a completely different strategy using existing launch vehicles such as the Atlas V and the Delta IV. But we could get to the moon within the next decade. Popular Science also went on to go with and said, there's a vested interest in human spaceflight and agrees that ARM has got a long way to go. The sense is that this mission doesn't cut the mustard, is so widespread but so whispered about for fear of retribution. I felt it was important as a professor at a private university to speak to the ones who will see the honest truth. And that quote is attributed to Richard Benzel, the professor at MIT. They mostly want to do this to collect samples and whatnot. And I think it would demonstrate something kind of cool, the fact that you can capture an asteroid and redirect a celestial object of that size. It could mean tremendous things in terms of an asteroid deflection strategy, which is really cool. But I see so many things potentially going wrong with this. And this past week that we just managed to land on a comet, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't get a chance to read up too much on that story this week. That's why I haven't mentioned it this week, because I just frankly didn't have the time to read on it. I think it is important, though, that we should be studying asteroids. I know James Cameron wants to mine the crap out of one with, like, I think, like, the Google CEO or something like that. This is serious. Like, seriously, type in James Cameron asteroid, and there's a story on it. So, I don't know, NASA. I think we should go back to the moon first. Just saying. And then my final story. This one is, I'm not going to lie, this is a bit of a kicker. And a kicker, for those of you that aren't in the news media, is a light and or humorous story. And this one comes out of Mario Kart 8. Well, in Japan a few weeks ago, they were teasing about new Mercedes-Benz DLC. Well, it's coming to North America. At the end of the month, we get three Mercedes cars. We get an SUV, the classic Formula One car that's like the oldie one, and another sports car. I haven't gotten the exact names of them because I'm not a car guy. It's just hideous. These cars, they look so out of place in game, and I don't know. I guess I would have much rather gotten vehicles from, like, Diddy Kong Racing or something, or give me more bikes or something. I don't know. I mean, I guess if we're allowing Mercedes cars, can I get, like, a Ducati bike pack then? Or, like, a Dodge Jeep whatever buggy hybrids? Like, I don't know. It seems kind of lame to me. I'm pretty sure it's free. In fact, I'm 99% sure that it's free. Why, Nintendo, why? I like my Wii U. I really do. I just wish there was more things for it. Mario Kart being one of the best games on the system. In fact, a system seller, to be sure. Just, I don't know. I really don't know. Although, the new update that comes to the game will fix a lot of little problems with it, such as, it's a menu thing, but it's, you'll like it when I mention it. Instead of having highlight reel, then next race, it's going to go next race, then highlight reel. So that's a simple change, but it'll speed things up. Online improvements to the net code, stuff like that. So, I don't know. I'm not sure what I'd even want out of Mario Kart DLC if I could put stuff into it. I really don't know. I think it'd be really awesome if you could get all the old power-ups back in the game. even if they are ludicrously unbalanced. Or, you know what? Give me a better battle mode. You can do that, Nintendo. Give me like a half. Give me new maps. Give me the old ones redone. I mean, come on, man. You can do that. I don't know. Anyway, guys, so yeah, hopefully, we are still doing that prototype on the Zeldas, me and Jamie. It's Fiddleville here in Shelburne this weekend, so I'm not sure whether he will be coherently speaking. But we are going to give away that copy of The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker on the Wii U, very, very shortly. And, I will be talking the Angry Video Game Nerd movie. As well, although James has asked me to not give spoilers. So if you get a chance to see this in your city, go. Trust me, worth it. Check it out. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next week right here on Review a Day on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I'm off to the beer tent.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
You guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.